This is 16-9, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 16-9 has been online now for more than a decade, writing about the digital signage industry and filtering all the BS. Now 16-9 is also a podcast, a chance to talk to smart people doing interesting things in this business. You can listen to episodes online, grab it from iTunes or Google Play, or use your favorite podcast app to grab the RSS feed. 16-9 is sponsored and supported by ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. Digital Signage Expo is coming up in late March in Las Vegas. It will be the 14th version of the big trade show and conference. I sat down with DSC show director Andrea Verone when she was up in Toronto last week to run through what people should expect to see in 2017. We talked about a lot of things, like what's new and different about the upcoming show and how the event is doing. Verone talks about the mighty challenge of trying to grow the attendee base when more than half of it is brand new with each passing year. She has to, as she says, keep refilling that attendee bucket. We get into some of the exhibitor rules that have made some companies cranky in the past, and also touch on the future of a couple of spin-off shows aimed at education and corporate communications, which didn't exactly draw mobs last month in Chicago. If you're a regular at DSC, or thinking about it for 2017, you'll want to have a listen.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, good,
welcome,
how are you?
Welcome to Canada. They let you in our country.
They sure did. It's cold.
Well, I mean, I've been in Atlanta when it's cold. I've seen snow there.
Maybe once or twice a year.
Yeah, that. It wasn't exactly a blizzard, but there was snow. So you're running a mixer up here.
Correct.
You've done these in a number of places. The idea is to kind of generate interest, contacts for a DSC?
Right, and it's really just about getting our networks together when we're in the local area, just to bring buyers and sellers together and also mm-hmm. generate excitement about the show, which is coming up very soon.
So it's almost Christmas. The show is about
three months, the last week in March.
When does it start to get a little hairy?
For us?
Yeah.
We've already gotten there.
It's already hairy. Okay, so you can't really be here.
No, but I am anyway. It's important.
And what's different about the show this year? Because it's been going on for about a dozen years now.
This is actually going to be number 14.
14, wow, okay.
Yeah, and we're really trying up some new marketing strategies in terms of bringing more and better attendees to the show, kind of diversifying our media partnerships, mm-hmm. our ad spend. We've been doing a lot of programmatic stuff and online stuff with search engine optimization. We're really just trying to expand the reach and really capture the best possible attendees that we possibly can. That's been our focus this year.
Because you have no problem in terms of awareness with vendors.
Correct.
If you're a vendor, you know about this show.
For the most part.
If you're a consultant, you know about this show. If you're an end user, that's the endless challenge to pull those guys in.
Right, is to refill that bucket, because from our research we've seen for a lot of folks it's an every other year show, or they may come when they have something coming down the pike in terms of a big project, but they may not see it as an every year event. So we're having to replenish those folks mm-hmm. to keep our numbers, you know, to where our exhibitors are happy, and you know, that's a challenge. Mm-hmm.
So how do you do that?
A lot of hard work, a lot of marketing, a lot of media buys with partners, and just pounding the pavement the way we do to find exhibitors. We're working that hard to find attendees. Mm-hmm.
And the user base, the end users, those guys, I assume, certainly from my own experience, they're a lot more educated than they used to be.
For sure. I mean, it's come a long way, but you're also, you know, going to get a whole flock of new folks who have been given this digital signage project and don't know where to begin. Mm-hmm. Something we're doing this year a little bit differently. We're doing a new attendee boot camp, which we've never done at the show before, to kind of give some of those folks who've never been to the show an idea of how to spend those 3 days and make the most of it, and what education sessions they should attend, which vendors they should see on the floor based on, you know, what their needs are. So we're trying to think of new ways to make mm-hmm. the experience easier.
How does that work, the boot camp?
It's going to be on Tuesday afternoon before the show kicks off, and there'll mm-hmm. be a series of presentations, some with in-house explanation folks. We will have some of our advisory board members participating, as well as possibly some consultants like yourself who are very familiar with the show, mm-hmm. just kind of giving them some different guidelines of how to maneuver them their way through.
So you can get them confused as hell and then they come to the mixer.
Exactly. The mixer's doing well, right?
It is. It's that thing sells out really quickly.
It's great.
From looking at the numbers, it looks in the last few years that it's been steady. It's not growing, it's not shrinking, it's just kind of like steady state. So how do you build on
that? Right. In terms of attendees, that is correct. We have hovered around 4,000 for the past 3 years. Mm-hmm. And again, that is our number one goal, is to get that number up. And one thing that a lot of people don't realize is that over 60% every year of that 4,000 are brand new. Mm-hmm. So we're replenishing that bucket.
That's that bucket. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. So some new things we're trying as well to kind of make the experience a little bit more fun, to try to maybe get some of those 40% back. Mm-hmm. We're doing something called the DSE Central Park, which is going to be a user experience zone on the floor. Kind of looked like a park. It's going to have park benches and park lights. And we have a company out of Atlanta called Max Media doing three different mm-hmm. virtual reality experiences. And there'll be some other vendors that have some interactive cool stuff in there. So we're creating kind of a little zone where these people can right. have some fun and get to know the technology as opposed to just walking through booths on the show floor. So we're trying new things.
Mm-hmm. And what about the educational sessions? What's different about that?
Right. So this year, I would say what's most new is we, instead of having one big general keynote, you know, DSE speaks to over 20 vertical markets. We are actually doing vertical specific keynotes. So there'll be 8 separate keynotes for the 8 different tracks that we mm-hmm. that we have. So mm-hmm. I think that when you're an attendee going to your boss and trying to justify why you should be attending this show, you're going to see that we've laid out a real specialized path for you if you're a retailer, if you're a corporate communicator. So it's just a total 3 days of an experience that's catered to you.
And these are all keynotes like at breakfast time?
They'll be first thing in the morning, correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Just like the general keynote, but there'll be 8 right. in different verticals. And within that 8, there will include a general end user keynote too. So if you don't fall in one of those uh-huh. main categories, there will be something for you as well.
And do the education sessions go on all day outside of the trade show floor, or do they stop when the hall's open?
They're basically going on throughout the day. We've staggered the times a little bit differently this year in order to allow more time on the show floor, which will make our exhibitors happy. So rather than pulling all of the attendees off the floor at the same time, we've tried to scatter those. And you'll see when you take a look at the schedule online, you'll see that there's built-in time for you to do both.
Mm-hmm. And is the take-up different between the educational sessions that are, you know, off in a meeting room somewhere versus the ones that are on the floor? Because the ones on the floor, I'm always kind of amazed at how many people are there.
Yeah, the big difference is those are free. So
well, there is that.
The conference program goes on, and actually this year we're in the South Hall, and half the program will be in the South Hall. The other half will be just right next door at the Renaissance, which is just a few steps away.
Yeah.
But those are, you know, part of your 2-day, 3-day, 4-day conference pass. The on floor are free and open to anybody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're just as, you know, interesting of topics. In fact, one of our on floor free theaters is going to be in that Central Park area that I was telling you about. Mm-hmm. So it'll be, you know, a highly populated area.
Yeah, I think I'm speaking at one of those things.
You probably are.
At some point, I'll look that up.
We'll let you know. Don't worry.
Are there educational sessions that tend to work better than other ones?
You know, it really just depends. I think the topics speak volumes. What's hot? What's new? What mm-hmm. are the biggest pain points that we're hearing out in the industry? It really just depends.
Mm-hmm. The exhibitor profile seems to have changed a lot through the years. Like when I've been going for like probably 13 of those 14 years, or well, 12 of those 13 so far. And it seemed to, at the beginning, it was much more the software guys. And I don't see as many software guys there now. It's more the display guys, the mounts guys.
It's really a mixture of everything. Obviously, there's the big display manufacturers that you kind of see in that front row. Mm-hmm. There's a boatload of software companies. There's new companies doing things like Beacon Technology or projection mapping, Holocube, mm-hmm. you know, different kinds of interactive content products. I mean, you're going to see a little bit of everything. I think what you may be noticing is that what people are showcasing in their booths mm-hmm. has changed a little bit. I think people are going away from traditionally, if you're a mount company, just having your mount products on the wall, you're actually seeing an end user experience played out in a booth, mm-hmm. which I think is great for the show and great for our attendees to better understand what they can do with these products.
Right.
Instead of it just being a hardware show, which we have been accused of being in the past, we're really evolving in that way.
Mm-hmm. One of the issues that I've heard come up, I'm not an exhibitor, I've never been an exhibitor, but some exhibitors grumbled when the rules kind of changed, where you used to be able to kind of park yourself in a big display manufacturer booth or Intel booth or something like that, and not really have your own presence.
Right.
That changed.
Well, it never changed. We've begun enforcing the rules in terms of you can certainly have your wares in an NEC booth, in a Samsung booth, in an Intel booth, but you also have to have your own footprint on the show floor if you wish to do that. And that is strictly to keep a level playing field and for the health of the show, because without our paying exhibitors, we wouldn't have any money to market to bring you these leads and these attendees and produce this event.
Right.
So we have to protect our exhibitors, and we're really making a conscious effort to be better at that and policing that just to keep things fair.
So you're saying that rule was always in it, always there, you just didn't really enforce it until the last 2-3 years?
It just, we saw it becoming a problem, and we had a lot of complaints from some of our anchor exhibitors that noticed that going on. And so we've really, really put an effort toward being better about policing that and keeping a level playing field.
I also heard from some people there was this double standard that you had a couple of very large booths, one from a company in Silicon Valley that had a whole bunch of partners in its booth, and they didn't have booth somewhere else as well.
They did. They were encouraged either to be in the innovator zone, or they had a conference room in the back, or they paid a hefty non-exhibiting supplier fee, which is $1,000. So you it may not be as obvious to the average attendee, but trust me, we're doing our best to keep things fair.
Yeah. So what the chatterers were saying versus what was really going on.
It's never the same. it's gossip.
Yeah. So is it difficult to manage all that?
Yes.
Simply put, yes.
You have no idea.
Who's new this year?
In terms of exhibitors?
Yeah.
We've got tons of new exhibitors. We've got a brand new manufacturer out of Australia that opened a home base in Chicago called Coates. Yeah, so you probably know a lot of these folks. We've got some brand new exhibitors coming in from overseas, from Asia. There's a lot new. I would say probably 40%, not 40%, maybe 30% of our exhibitors are brand new this year.
And some big ones? I mean, like a lot
for
of times
sure.
The brand new guys are these little guys.
There's a company, Gable, that just joined with 800 square feet. And they're retail focused.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So no, they're not just taking 10 by 10, 20s in the back. You're seeing a good mix.
Will we see more LED manufacturers this year?
You may. Definitely a little bit more noise coming from that sector this year in terms of interest in exhibiting in the show. Whether or not that actually happens, you know, we'll see how it shakes out. We're still selling.
And are you seeing companies coming in that are you wouldn't really think would be involved in this industry who are starting to kind of show up, whether they're in restaurant food management, that sort of thing?
I mean, you see a little bit of that. I mean, for sure, but I wouldn't say an overwhelming number of anything that's kind of shocking.
What the long term of the show, the industry has changed so much. Everybody used to call it digital signage, and there's been this endless thing about, you know, what do we call it? And generally, people like me have said, well, for God's sakes, move on. There are other things to worry about here, but I'm starting to think more and more that digital signage itself is a name that's starting to wear down, and a lot more people are using terms like visual communications
right.
and so on.
Right. Now, one thing we're very proud of is our branding, and you know, we've worked hard to achieve that, but we are always constantly discussing the future of the show and what that looks like, especially as you just see this industry grow and grow, and it's maybe not so much a sign or a screen anymore, it's a surface. You know, it's something we're constantly reviewing, and you know, you may see some changes in the future, so keep your eyes peeled on that.
My ears open.
There's a bunch of costs involved in putting this podcast together, so I'm very grateful for the support this podcast will get from our new and sole sponsor, ScreenFeed. Here's founder and CEO, Jeremy Gavin.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. As content people, we love great content, and we think Dave's doing a great job with this 69 podcast, which is why we've offered to sponsor it. If you'd like to see the content that we create on a daily basis, head over to screenfeed.com and check it out. Let us know if we can help you in any project you're working on. And do me a favor, if you don't find what you're looking for, shoot me an email at jeremy@screenfeed.com. I'm always interested in new ways we can help. Now back to the podcast.
The CorpCom show, EDUCOM show, I know that's not your show, but it comes
right
out of the same company.
Right.
And there's pretty close relationship for that show.
Right.
That was just a couple weeks ago in Chicago. How did
Correct.
That go?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly was a disappointment in terms of numbers of attendees. Uh-huh. I think the quality of attendees, if you speak to some of the exhibitors, was there. I think what's in question in the future is maybe the format of the event. We're not quite convinced that the corporate communicators are looking for an actual trade show with a trade show floor filled
right.
with, you know, high-tech products. So we're kind of taking a look at that, and you know, more to come on that in the future.
Mm-hmm. There was, yeah, I'd heard it was foot traffic. It was slow. You're nodding your head.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, it's, you know, as an organizer of a trade show, without uh-huh. steady foot traffic, you know, you've got an issue. So we're looking into how to best serve that industry and what that event looks mm-hmm. like.
Yeah, I'm clearly not in the trade show business, but I sort of hear and read things here and there saying, you know, is the trade show business needing to evolve, that the days of the big giant trade shows where everybody goes are evolving, and it's more about education and conferences and matchmaking?
You say that, but then if you take a flight over to Amsterdam in
Which
a couple
will,
of months
yeah.
and
yeah.
look at ISE, or you go to Vegas for CES, you really don't
yeah.
you really don't feel that way. So it's obviously, I think you just can't beat that face-to-face interaction and selling your boss on, here's one plane ticket, here's one trade show, and I'm going to see 100, 200, 300 potential customers. I just don't think that's ever going to go away.
Yeah, I've been to ISE, went last year, and going again, that was 65,000
and growing
people.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't been in 2 years. I'm heading back there uh-huh. this time, and it's, from what I've heard, even in just 1 year, it's just grown exponentially.
Is that show problematic for you?
I don't believe that it is. I think it's, you know, you're comparing apples and oranges. That's mm-hmm. you know, essentially Infocom in Europe, mm-hmm. and it's enormous, and it's a hardware show and a pro AV show. We are not that. We are a digital signage experiential show that caters to end users, and mm-hmm. you know, I don't think you can say that about ISE or Infocom.
Mm-hmm. What's the feedback you get from, we keep talking about end users here, but those people who come, you convince them to make the trip, what do they say after?
You know, we get a lot of great feedback, especially in terms of the education, you know, because I just don't think you're going to find a more robust digital signage education program than you are at DSE, with over 100 speakers, mm-hmm. 40 sessions, roundtables. You know, there's free events, like you mentioned, the on-floor workshop. Mm-hmm. So the experience and the feedback that we've gotten has been very positive.
Mm-hmm. Do you get people who only go to the trade show floor or only go to the conference? And I wonder sometimes if people are aware that the conference part is even going on.
You do. You do get some that, you know, perhaps don't have the budget to spend on the education, and they just, you know, they just come to the exhibit hall and go to the free workshops. You get people that are just there to see the technology, or people that have maybe set up some meetings with folks that are going to be on the show floor. Mm-hmm. You see a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. You know, our hope is through marketing, and the more that we can educate people on what kind of education we're providing, I think the more adoption we'll get. Mm-hmm. And we're actually going to be doing a mailer this year ahead of the show with the full program, the full education schedule.
Right.
So we hope that will help maybe some more people see really what is available to them.
Mm-hmm. You do the boot camp. Do you actually have people walking end users around the floor, kind of?
There's talks of that. And for example, ALI, who's doing our pre-show corporate communications event on Tuesday, mm-hmm. they are working out some booth tour options for that sector. You know, the DSF has talked about potentially mm-hmm. Providing that. So it's something that we're looking to provide. I mean, I think that would be super helpful for people.
Yeah, I've done it on a personal level for existing clients.
Are you for hire?
Yeah. Where they've said, I'm in town, can you meet me at the front and like show me around for an hour, because I'm confused.
Right, right. And that's, you know, and that's, I don't want that. Anything we can do mm-hmm. to prevent people from being confused is going to be best for everybody.
Yeah. So you've been at the show for years and years. One of the things that I always notice when I take my big first walk is how many vendors don't seem to have their act together in terms of clearly communicating what they do and what they do that's different from the five other guys who are immediately around them. How do you, did you guys spend any time coaching them on that?
You know, we do the best we can. We can't tell them how to run their business or how to market, but you know, part of the reason, like, I'm here in Toronto and I'm all over the country throughout the year is visiting with our exhibitors and talking about these types of things and how we can, you know, better make their experience, which inevitably is going to lead them to more business. So we do the best we can. Mm-hmm.
So I'm a vendor. I'm going to show there for the first time. What's the advice you would provide to me then?
Market ahead of time.
Let In what way?
Everyone know, whether it's via email, using our systems that we provide to help you do that, marketing to your own list. I mean, the best analogy that Chris Gibbs, who is our president, mm-hmm. always says is you would never open a retail store in a mall and not do any marketing. And essentially, you have to look at your booth the same way. You can't just buy your booth and show up and expect people to know you're going to be there, especially if you're newer into the space and you're not one of the big screen manufacturers in the front row. You need to just market the heck out of your presence at the mm-hmm. show. Mm-hmm. Let people know you're going to be there, what you do, and why they should come see you. Mm-hmm.
I've talked to some vendors who have been very successful at their show because they do all that. They advance market, and they have meetings every half an hour.
Yep.
Both days, they're booked solid, and they have meetings into the evening and everything else, versus other ones who, as you say, just show up with their techs and throw up their backdrop and sit down and stare at their Blackberries or their iPhones all day.
That's right. I mean, you got 200 exhibitors to compete with, so you need, I always encourage, it sounds corny, but any kind of giveaway or even a happy hour in your booth where you're inviting specifically the customers that you want to meet, mm-hmm. we can help you guys do all those types of things ahead of time. So don't be shy. Call us and let us know how we can help you put something like that into motion.
Mm-hmm. And what about follow-up?
It's just as important. It's just as important. We actually have tools through marketing. We can help you do that too. So don't be afraid to lean on us.
Yeah, I've found that an awful lot of the vendors in the space, the big guys, setting them aside, and then some smaller ones who are just flat out sharp. But a lot of them don't really have marketing functions. They're technical people, and it just kind of blows their minds when you kind of tell them you should do this and that, and they're madly scribbling down notes and all that. And do most of them even know that you have tools available for them?
Well, we're doing the best we can to breathe it down their necks. So it's not for lack of trying, trust me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a tough go. What show would you say is DSE's competitor at this point? Do you think you have one?
I don't think we really have a competitor. I think the one show that our exhibitors and potential exhibitors say is our competitor is Infocom. And mm-hmm. I think maybe just due to the nature of some of these people's products, they market to both the pro AV audience as well as the digital signage audience. So mm-hmm. I would say that's probably the closest relative, but in no way are they a direct competitor.
Right. What about NRF?
NRF is everything else retail, digital signage being one small piece, very mm-hmm. similar to Global Shop, which is a store fixturing show with a small piece mm-hmm. of digital signage. So you can't compare those as either.
Yeah.
But I will throw out one note. Global Shop is going to be going on at the exact same time as DSE this year at Mandalay Bay. And we are working very closely with them in doing some co-branded and co-marketing so that if you're a retailer and you're going to your boss, hey, let me go to Vegas, I'm going to go to two shows for the price of one. So we will be doing that. And badges will be interchangeable. So if you have a DSE badge and you're a qualified attendee, Global Shop's going to let you in and vice versa.
Hmm. Yeah, that's valuable because I know some people who have gone to DSE and then said, I got to stay around here for like 4 days.
Right, extra. It just happened. It's the same week this year as well as Pizza Expo and Nightclub and Bar Show.
Pizza Expo.
So we're actually working with those two events as well to help promote.
The Nightclub and Bar Show is on at the same time?
Yes, it is.
Oh, I've heard about that. That's a nightmare show.
Yes, it is.
You go there and nothing but free drinks. You may lose some people to that.
No comment.
So you've been around this industry, like how long have you been doing this?
8 years.
And this is the family business, right?
Right.
And have you always been in the family business or were you doing something else?
No, I jumped on board 8 years ago. They've been at it a lot longer, but I actually sold residential real estate prior to this.
Oh, really?
Completely different field. But I love what I'm doing now and mm-hmm. would never go back.
And you took over as show director last year, right?
2 years ago.
And how was that, like when Chris tapped you on the shoulder and said, guess what?
It was exciting. It was mm-hmm. something that I think I've been working toward. And, with everything new, you're a little nervous at first. But now that I've gotten the last 2 years of show prep under my belt, I feel a lot more capable and, looking forward to the future and making the best event we can possibly make.
Mm-hmm. You're doing these things, you're networking brains out all over the country and even in my cold country. What's the feedback? What's the kind of the sense you get in the marketplace about where the industry is at? Everybody says it's growing, but I know it's not growing for everybody.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, I think everybody sees the future potential of the industry. I think the same pain points are still there. The sales cycles are so long. Getting buy-in to mm-hmm. actually buy all this very expensive, cool equipment is still a problem. But I just think that there's such exponential growth in terms of the amount of screens, and the possibilities are endless, and I just don't see that going away anytime soon. Mm-hmm.
Are there technologies that you're seeing that you bump into because you're, you know, busy courting all these vendors that particularly intrigue you?
I think all of the hologram stuff is really cool. The beacon technology, the capabilities with RFID are really fascinating to me, a little scary, but you know, I don't think we've even scratched the surface of what's to come. Mm-hmm.
Is the robot guy back this year?
He's going to be here tonight. I'm not sure if he's coming to the show. We'll find out in about 20 minutes.
Oh, God. I saw the robot guy. I don't know. Here we go. Poor fella.
There's a lot of robots at CES. I don't know when the last time you went to CES was. I went this year, so January
6th. The ones with the iPad faces?
There's a lot of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm bumping into them everywhere, no pun intended.
Yeah, I just want to elbow them.
You're bad, Dave.
It's the Canadian in me. So what do the next few weeks look like for you? Like, is it more going around and trying to pull yet more people in, or are you kind of pretty much set in terms
We've finalized our marketing schedule. We know what we're executing on between now and March. It's really just fine-tuning all of the last pieces of the education program, filling in any last holes we have for speakers. We're still selling booth space, so we're actively marketing what we have left on the show floor. So it's just monitoring registration, monitoring for non-exhibiting suppliers, all that good stuff. So we're staying very busy.
How are you tracking?
We're ahead of where we were. We do a days out comparison of, you know, year in, year out, and we're ahead, and we're seeing some awesome end users that have already registered, so that's always exciting.
Does it make a difference in terms of, like, it's moved around a little bit. It's been as early as, like, Valentine's Day, and this is almost April.
And that's why we do a days out comparison, so we know exactly where we are in relation to when the show is.
Right,
so we're a little bit later this year, which helps us. It gives us more time in the beginning of the year, especially with CES and with ISE. We're kind of happy that we're at the end of March this year. It just gives, as organizers, we have a little bit more time to get our acts together.
Yeah, I was going to say, why does it bounce around so much?
So because we are in just one hall at the convention center, we're not a CES. We don't take up the entire convention center.
So you don't get to
dictate. Right. So we are over, I think, 5 or 6 years ahead of time. We know where we're going to be, and that's just how the convention center deals with us. So, for example, we'll be back in the North Hall next year. We know that. It's just we're sort of at the mercy of the center.
And one year you were even at the Sands.
We were, and that's because they gave us the most god-awful hall in the convention center, and we were able to get out of our contract for a year, which a lot of people like the Sands due to the proximity to restaurants and whatnot. But but the convention center is, you know, we have a really good relationship with them, and, you know, I think the exhibitors find them a little bit easier to deal with.
Okay. All right, well, we will see you, well, in a few minutes at the mixer, but in a few weeks in Las Vegas.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
Thanks for taking the time.
Sure.
That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening and that you learned something. If you want to stay on top of what's happening and actually matters in digital signage, join thousands of readers who visit 16.9, that's 16-9.net every day. 16.9 the blog and now the podcast are both properties of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare bedroom in my house near Toronto. Thanks to our podcast sponsor, ScreenFeed, and thank you for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.